Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal, a safe way for your customers to pay. Whether you're a market seller,
I'll take two tomatoes and a cucumber,
poodle pamperer, piano tuner, or plumber. Signing up to accept touch-free payments for your business is easy. Simply download the PayPal app and display your own unique QR code for your customers to scan. Touch-free QR code payments. No seller fees until 2021. Not applicable to PayPal Here transactions. Other fees may apply. Shop safe with PayPal.
This podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. You think you know who's going to win the fight this weekend? Then lay down some money and get in on the action at the safest online sportsbook in the world. And it's the only one that we recommend to our listeners. MyBookie.ag offers all kinds of different wagers on fights, as well as every other type of sport and league in the world. And when you win, you get lightning-fast payouts. You can even create your own player prop wagers using their prop machine. You heard that right. You can create your own matchups and wagers between any ball players that are in action that day. So go check them out now and use promo code BUFFER for a 50% bonus on your first deposit up to $1,000. I would only recommend a website to my listeners that's an excellent one. So if you want to experience Las Vegas-style sportsbook gambling from the comfort of your living room, MyBookie.ag is the only place you'll want to check out. They offer pretty much every sport and league in the world, including esports, with League of Legends and Counter.
At T-Mobile, you can get two powerful iPhone 11 Pros on us.
The three cameras are perfect for capturing my DIY projects. I'm repainting our car.
Wow, the ultra-wide camera really captures all the flames.
Switch today and get two new lines for $90 plus two iPhone 11 Pros on us with qualifying trade-in.
For well-qualified customers plus taxes and fees, Essentials plan with auto pay. Phone via 24 credits. If you cancel before 24 credits, remaining balance on full price of $999.99 for each device may be due. Contact us. Qualifying port-ins and finance agreements required.
Strike. In addition, if you're into casino games like blackjack, roulette, craps, or slots, MyBookie.ag has it all. Not to mention, you can play all of their games on your cell phone, your iPad, or a tablet computer. It's entirely up to you. You can literally play from anywhere in the world. You play, you win, you get paid. So if you want to get in on the action this summer, go to mybookie.ag now and sign up with them using promo code BUFFER, that's B-U-F-F-E-R, to ensure that you're eligible for all of our future promotions and bonuses. Visit Las Vegas from your couch and try them out today. Once again, that's mybookie.ag using promo code BUFFER.
It's time! With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
It's time. From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, back to the streets of Atlantic City, New Jersey, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on its time. President Trump, current events, sex, drugs, rock and roll, sports, UFC. You name it, we talk about it. It's no holds barred radio on this show, folks. And this show, my show, with my co-host TJ DeSantis, has now been online for approximately 10 years. And we've had a lot of great guests over that 10 years. Amazing guests from the world of sports and entertainment. One of the ones that stands out is our good friend of the show, Jean-Claude Van Damme. It was only about 2 years ago that Jean-Claude came back on our show in studio, and we had one of the most memorizing, personal, touching interviews, I think, in the history of It's Time Radio in his 10-year existence. So with that being said, it was such a great interview, and now that we're at the new Revolver Podcast Network, our new host network, we'd like to share with you what we consider to be probably one of our top five podcasts of all time with the legendary Jean-Claude Van Damme. So I'm really looking forward to this coming up, TJ. Before we get there, you know, we had a great night of fights last weekend over in Glendale, Arizona at the Gila River Arena. And with that being said, the main event, Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje, they brought it. They had five rounds of total action. Dustin coming out on top, now looking forward to either having a rematch with Eddie Alvarez or maybe going into a future fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov for the belt, which I know he wants. We saw another fight with Carlos Condit and Alex Oliveira. Alex Oliveira coming out on top. Carlos Condit, the longtime UFC fighter, fantastic fighter, always brings it. But now he's at a turning point in his career that he has to consider what will the future hold after his loss on Saturday night. Michelle Waterson, Courtney Casey battling it out in the strawweight division. Michelle Waterson on her way to a championship fight in the strawweight division with her performance that night. Just a top-notch night of fights, TJ. Really exciting. And I'm on my way to Atlantic City for another exciting night of fights coming this Saturday. Lots to talk about. But don't you agree, TJ, Jean-Claude Van Damme was one of the best podcasts we've ever had?
Hands down. I mean, there are very few things that I've done for a decade plus, this being one of them. And that was one of the best days I think we've had in 10 years. And it's always fun to sort of go back and show maybe some of our new listeners who weren't around then, or maybe, you know, I'm like 10 years. A lot of people come in and out of touch with us over the course of 10 years. If you haven't heard it yet, if it's new to you, it'll be just as good as the first time anyone else heard it. And if you've already heard it, I think it's one of those things that it's like a good song. Every once in a while, even though you've heard it a million times, it's good to go back and listen to it, because I think as our lives evolve, we always sort of pick out new things that maybe we didn't appreciate the first time we heard it. And I mean, this is a inspirational interview with Jean-Claude, and you know, hopefully we can get him back on the air again in the future. But this is one that I think, even if you've heard it, you'll still take some things and you know, sit back and be entertained, but also sort of think about your life in a different way and maybe use it to become a better person.
Absolutely. And when you talk about the word evolve, Jean-Claude Van Damme touches on the evolutionary process in his life, recreating his own career. And this is a lot that's been discussed. I personally have listened to this interview more than 10 times over the last couple of years, and I've gotten something new out of it every time. So let's, without any more being said from us, because we know how great the interview is, let's let our worldwide listening audience enjoy a nice bit of time, like you're sitting in a living room sharing a bottle of Cristal champagne with the great, legendary Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It's time! You asked for it, and you got it. At brucebuffer.com. Championship introductions at a special rate are now provided for all of you as a keepsake for life, like you are being introduced like a champion in the cage. Just go to brucebuffer.com. Specials for championship introductions, weddings, birthdays, voicemail, and business recordings. I'm here for you if you need me. Check me out at brucebuffer.com.
It's time to begin!
Who am I kidding? I'll let him do it.
It's time!
Now, back to the voice of MMA, Bruce Buffer.
It is the Lifestyle Show of the Web, and today, a very, very big show. Historical show for us after 200 episodes, as we bring on one of my favorite action stars of all time. One of my favorite human beings and a man I like to call my friend in the movie industry. A man who's known the world round as the Muscles from Brussels. But let's bring him on now, because he truly is an icon. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Hi, Jean-Claude.
How are you? How are you, Bruce?
You like that intro, don't you? Oh,
yes, but what a voice.
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, it actually pays for, you know, some of the bills. Jean-Claude, you know, I've known you for a number of years. We've been, you know, mile-away neighbors, Marina Del Rey, seeing each other at Gold's. Before I ever met you, I will say that I spent a lot of my life watching your movies, first in line to go see them. Always fascinated a lot by you because you're such a distinctive, iconish, legendary action star in, you know, in the movie film industry, which has gone through a lot of changes since you first came in. Your background, a lot of people really want to know about. I mean, you're from Brussels. They like to know about your martial arts background. I know also, too, aside from your training, you've done bodybuilding, you've been in martial arts, you've achieved belts in martial arts, you've fought, you've studied ballet, which, quite frankly, in my opinion, if you can study and train in ballet, you can pretty much do anything, because that's got to be some of the toughest training that there is, even though you're not getting hit.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Now, when you first came to America,
you came here with a dream, shall we say. And when you came here, by my estimate, it was about 1982 when you first came to America. Am I correct in that?
Correct.
And you're with a childhood friend named Michelle Kesey?
Yes,
correct. Yes, Kesey. And you moved to the States in the hope of becoming action stars. I'm fascinated, not just by where you are today, which we'll talk about, how you got here more so. I'm always fascinated by the dreams that people have and how they achieve your goals. Where were you at that point in your life? And can you just give us a little insight into when you came to America, what it was like for you?
Before coming to America, I came out of my mother, and the first fight was against myself.
Right.
I was not well gifted physically. I was having a problem physically in terms of not being a very strong kid, and everything was a fight.
Was it medical?
No, not medical. You know, some kids, they're born skinny, not sure. Ready. I mean, they're not like force just... of nature. So because of training, I was able to fight, in a sense, against myself and to become a better person.
Now, with that, were you...
a better physical person.
Right.
Did you go through what a lot of young boys and girls these days go through, which is the bullying process in Europe? Did you suffer from that?
Yeah. I was bullying at school and everything. Then my father was watching a TV show called Kung Fu. And he saw that with this art coming from Asia... And the guy was skinny, and at that time, the people in Europe, when they saw that TV show, they truly believe in that art, the Kung Fu art. So my father brought me to martial arts, to a teacher who became very close to me, like a father. And I was almost, I mean, he was like a second father to me. So because of love, and because he saw me somewhere special, which is being able to be something amazing with my legs, even though I was a gringalet, like he said, skinny, like a toothpick, and I was not flexible. He saw the will in me and the love I was having for my teacher. At that time, we didn't have martial arts for children, for kids. It was right away with a 16, 17, 18 years old. I was 11, so 18 looked like 35 years old against a 15 years old. You know, it was look. And I was forced to go on high kicks to be able to spar with them and everything. I take a little time. It's important for the people of the UFC. So I was having difficulties all the time in terms of height, power, and everything. So it's good to have a difficulty because I fought myself and I passed that stage. Then I became a hotshot in Belgium. I started to win some competition. Then I did weightlifting. I became Mr. Belgium. Then I did a few movies in Paris. And I said, okay, it's time to make good money. I opened a gym. Then my father saw that very successful because I came from my father was a floor man, a florist. He was selling flowers. And
right.
I was with him in the morning buying the flowers, then go to school, then to karate. It was a very 15, 16 hours a day life, you know, hard growing up, right?
Right.
And so when my father saw that my gym with the martial arts and the weightlifting and made so much money at that time, about $3,000 to $4,000 a day.
Wow.
That's a lot of money back then.
Was the biggest gym in Belgium,
What year is this?
Was back in 1980, 1979.
Wow,
right?
That's crazy money.
Right. I was young too. So, no, I was 19 years old. So my father then moved to my gym to help me with the accountability. And, of course, right. After 2 years that, I can do better than that. What? I want to be a movie star. Because since I was 11 years old, 8 years old, I was praying to the cosmic will, God, Buddha, Allah, whatever you want to call him.
Right.
I was praying to something powerful, and I say thank you in advance. But my first prayer, basically, I know I'm not cuckoo, I wanted to help the earth, the ecology. But at that time, everything was perfect.
Right?
Perfect. And then also I wanted to be like a Tarzan in movies. I was, you know, that dream of being those Marvel comics with the arms and the muscles. So everything was like a fight. And that dream came back to me, and I left to America with $3,000 in my pocket. I sold my gym. I put the money in the bank. I paid back my father for the loan. Thank you, Dad. good father. And then he said, my father told me, you know, no matter where you're going, okay, big fight first because lots of money, right. Old generation, he saw the war and all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, penny by penny, flowers by flowers. Now I'm leaving this beautiful business. And he said, listen, if you fail, you can always come back here and you have a bed and a flower shop.
Great father.
Yeah, and that made me feel so strong, Bruce. And TJ, when I came to the States, my father was always with me in my heart and my mother, my family. So I did it again for the love of my father. So when I became a movie star, I said, what's really special of being a movie star except being famous? And that became boring to me. And then I start to understand the art of acting, which is not acting, which is telling the truth and becoming a character so I can come out of myself mm-hmm. and feel better sometimes than to go back in myself because, you know, my life with the ups and downs. I've got memories and marriage and divorce. I've done everything and basically nothing to understand everything.
When you came to America, you know, back then, because you're, if I'm not mistaken, we're only a couple years apart. You're around 55, 56, and I'm 58. And in my early stages of martial arts, which got me into kickboxing and the stuff that I did at the early age, in my day, we all wanted to be Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee. And it was about the kicking and the striking. You know, that has changed so much since then, although Bruce Lee is still, as Chuck is, you know, a huge icon to all of us. A lot of people, you know, they talk about your fighting background as far as what you did or not on record. When I was, you know, doing some research, you had, unless I'm mistaken, 18 victories in a kickboxing career.
Right.
And one defeat. And I read where those 18 victories, were they all knockouts in those victories?
No. I win some, a lot with knockout, and some I win with points. Yeah.
Okay. And then,
but
yeah.
At that time also, for you to know, when we fought in Belgium, it was very disorganized. Mm-hmm. Some fight happened, like some, you have like light contact, full contact, and shuttlecock style.
Right.
And they happen in a school. And you see the water dripping in some buckets when the guy you're supposed to control. So you go very close, but of course people excited. Bam! In the lips. It's right. Bleeding all over the place. Yeah. Nurse, no nurse there. It's like, you know, it was in the old-fashioned.
Right.
And
yeah.
It was also people from the Middle East, North African people, people from Africa, tough mm-hmm. kid from the street. And that was the area where I was born. So, and I was a white boy, you know? So I grew up with all those guys, and I became very close to this type of thinking, which is the street thinking. Mm-hmm. And my father gave me a great education because he was an autodidact. So he gave me, you know, Wagner to listen, Beethoven, Molière. So I was between those two entities. So when I came to America, I think that helped me a lot, plus my sensitivity to be able to understand and feel people today better before talking to them.
Well, the understanding your character to create the character is very important. And life's learning process, like you're explaining, obviously all comes into that, you know, especially being an actor. The first film that you came out, obviously Bloodsport. A lot of people, when they talk about the original UFC, they say it's almost like, you know, the original Bloodsport, because back in the UFC, in the original, it wasn't mixed martial arts. It's what style was the best style. With, of course, Gracie and Jiu-Jitsu winning over in that. In Bloodsport, which was your breakout hit, was in 1988. That film was made for like $1.5 million budget. When you were making that film and you were on that film, did you feel that this was going to be the breakout film for you? Did this have that sense, or were you just happy to be in a movie?
Okay, it was three things. You know, when you come from Belgium and they're telling you you can make a film right away, it's like, okay, I'm making Lawrence of Arabia, because my mentality, you can make a film, you can make a film. Okay, I'm going to make a big movie. So I enter into Bloodsport with 20 years of rehearsal without knowing. Since I trained, since I was 10, 11, and I start Bloodsport at 25, mm-hmm. I've been training for that part without knowing. And at that time, it was no CGI, it was no green screen, so all the move, white screen, was kind of, it was real. So it was not really a story. It was more like a Van Damme billboard, and from there, I received more parts. But when I saw the movie finish at the Chinese theater, it was not too many people, and I came down, and I was not happy. I was like, kind of, you know, I was crying inside, going, why, it's not a good film, the story, the cutting, the kick, not enough, not enough, not enough. And then I find out later that it became a success. I go on radio saying, yeah, you know, we can do better because, and then the producer called me, Van Damme, this is Menachem. Are you crazy? The iron is hot. Don't ever say bad against any of your fucking movies. You know? So I'm sorry, but you know, we can do something called Kickboxer and all that stuff, right?
Right.
And it was great. And then when I saw it a couple of days ago, I saw Bloodsport. I go, my God, what a magic inside. Because now we have like 20-something years of distance, or 30, and I saw it. And I go, not 30, 28. And I go, wow, it's magic, you know, because I was kind of pure.
Like, definitively pure. Yeah. It created an evolutionary process in the martial arts films to where they are today. And even in your own films, because, you know, after that, you came out in like Double Impact, which was a lot of fun to watch. You had the Kickboxer movie, which, if I'm not mistaken, you're redoing right now. Is this correct?
Yes, we are doing a remake.
And where are you at with the remake now? I know you're training, you know, like an animal now.
Right.
But I mean, is Kickboxer actually being made at this moment, or is it planned to go to film soon?
In a couple of weeks, we are shooting the other half, which is the training part. So Kurt is coming to my camp, and now I'm a trainer. So we're going to try to make some new move. Remember the sticks in the Kickboxer, using the pads in the UFC? So I would like to do something kind of crazy, and we'll see. Lots of breakage because it has to be cinematic. But I saw the other half of it with Batista and GSP and
GSP's in it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they're good actors. I mean, GSP's acting became amazing.
Yeah.
Very
really
cool.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's great.
So it's kind of also an honor for me to be with GSP. He's a great champion, and I believe vice versa, so it's beautiful. Martial arts is really beautiful.
I'm curious. I mean, you look at martial arts stars. You already mentioned Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris. Jean-Claude Van Damme is right in that list of great martial arts actors. But it seems like this modern generation doesn't have the next martial arts star. Why is that, Jean-Claude? Is it too hard to break in? Are there just not enough polarizing figures? Why does this generation not have the next incarnation of yourself?
We're starving for it right now, quite frankly, in film.
Seriously?
When you think about it.
To be honest with you, I think it's coming from the inside. I give you an example. By the way, before going to that subject, also we have Ted Field, a great producer.
Mm-hmm. Ted Field, sure.
Who's going to produce the film, and Dimitri, another producer. And let's not forget Batista. He did the movie, I guess, for me, because he's he's a big star right now.
He's an amazing surprise.
Yeah, so when I'm very happy.
But he can act. You know, Batista can act.
But no one thought that. Everyone thought, oh, just a pro wrestler doing this Marvel movie, and he stole the freaking show.
No, right. He can act. It's like, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Obviously, he can do all the Dwayne The Rock Johnson stuff, but give him a chance to act, he can act.
Right, but no offense to Batista, no offense to The Rock. Those guys, to me, aren't martial artists like you.
We don't have a martial artist.
Okay, I was born on the wood floor, right, almost. Mm. And when you start to go to the dojo, you start to build such a respect between you, the master, your friends. That's why sometimes I'm 55. Yes, sir. Okay, he's calling me sir. He's kind of weak. Some people, you know, it's like I'm in that type of tunnel.
Right.
And also, I've been building in my mind martial arts all my life, including cinematic martial art.
Mm-hmm.
And also, sometimes you have that. It's just inside you. It's like Bruce Lee. You know, I don't want to compare myself. He was my hero. All I'm saying, when it's time to go and you open those eyes, like, bam, it's there. It's like that explosion inside you. It's coming from inside you. You take the energy. Like, for example, a guy like McGregor, he's got that type of thing. He's hungry. It's new for him. Mm-hmm. He appreciates the money with a big smile. He's saying it out loud, and now he's living a very great adventure. This is the time where you go from nothing to being bored. So I'm advising him to enjoy every second
Absolutely.
Of the day. That's the time. And it's going to be hard to beat him because he's fighting with this, plus his techniques and his height. Plus he's got the Irish people behind him, and he creates, listen to this. He create a connection, a soul connection between him and the audience on his early fight, and he wants to be loved. One more thing. Why those UFC champions are, they want to be loved. Before the fight, they are doing their honest show, and they want to be loved. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing is more hard for a fighter after a career, same as a movie star, to going down. And I want to say something to all the UFC people. The training that they have to go through from toe to nose, you know, because it's all the styles are involved. I really pull my hat because those kids inside the cage, the beating they can receive, they are very courageous. And also it brings back the people, the American population, to a specific. I understand it's primal. I understand we have blood. I understand the technique. So we accept the hit because we understand the techniques. We understand the puzzle before the game, not the game before the puzzle. Mm-hmm. But some people not. But also it puts some people like those kids into a specific to go into the right way, the right path, and to understand what specific is. You can do the same with study, same with driving a bus. But UFC bring back people into a schedule time, sleeping, training. You know what I'm saying?
You know what you're focusing on, too, is because they're capturing the hearts and minds of the fans. And that's when you capture the hearts and minds and leading the lifestyle that they lead, as long as they're good role models.
Right.
These are the role models of today, where we live in a life, and we talk about this all the time on the show, of what to me are useless role models, such as the Kardashians and the, you know, I can go on and on and on, that don't really do anything to make one better in life other than just be famous for being famous. Here you're looking at somebody that the hearts and minds of the young 18 to 34 year olds and kids can relate to, the way I related to in my own mind to Bruce Lee or Chuck Norris, and the way you did when we were young.
Right.
You know, in that kind of an instance. This is very important in today's society. And Conor McGregor, you bring up a cool point here. We have Randy Couture has gone into film. You worked with him in The Expendables.
Right.
Ronda Rousey has now gone into film. She's come out in a few major blockbuster films, most recently Entourage. She just got a huge paycheck to start a whole franchise built around her called, I forget, do you remember the name of that franchise?
The Athena Project.
Yeah, The Athena Project. She's on her way to that, although her heart and mind and her focus, being the true martial artist that she is to continue to be the great champion that she is. Now we look at Conor McGregor, and you're right. He is in that most important period of his life to enjoy and fulfill himself as much as possible, because let's be honest, it doesn't last forever. We know that. Do you see Conor McGregor with that personality he has and everything going for him that you just so, you know, bountifully described? Do you see him making his way? Does he have what it takes in your mind as a raw actor to go into film? Do you see that possibility?
Yeah, McGregor is going to be always a moving step forward.
Sure.
He likes to elevate himself in into fighting, philosophies, reading book. He's trying to learn his way. He's not stupid. He's listening. He has to do what he has to do. And he's a good guy. He loves people. Mm-hmm. But him being a movie star, he's really a true warrior. And he'll make a film or two or three films for sure, because he wants to touch everything. But in his heart, he's a true warrior. And I don't know what he's going to tell me or anybody's going to tell me, but I've got to say that. It's on the bottom of my heart, guys. I've got to say that. UFC, the Fist, were boxing for many, many years. It's good. They are good. They are strong. The projection, all that wrestling stuff, forget about me. It's spaghetti, you know. I would bite, right? I cannot do anything. You know, wrestling school in Belgium, it was soccer. I hate it. I was staying on the bench. I stay on the bench. But kicking, lots of people, they don't know how to use their legs correctly, because you're supposed to kick backwards, like when you're boxing, mm-hmm. forward, and the power, it's sometimes not that there. And I'm honest. You can say JC, FM and everything, but I've got to be honest. And McGregor, for example, who's a great fighter, if he can use his legs as mm-hmm. good as his fist, because what he has, what not too many people have, it's the eye. Like Emelianenko was not really in shape, out of shape, but his eye, he yeah. knew when. So
Fedor.
He's
Fedor.
Got Fedor. Yeah. Emelianenko. So he's got that. He's got that. But what McGregor has, he's hungry and he's training every day. And after this fight, I would love to to spend some time with him to elevate the knee even better and not to make mistake, because turning around like that is fantastic. He's got the speed, but a guy like Aldo can go inside him. That's dangerous.
I love that you're getting fired up about this. It sounds like you're a big Conor McGregor fan. Do you expect him to beat Jose Aldo?
To be honest with you, I love McGregor and I love Aldo. Those two guys, it's like you've got a Ferrari, Lamborghini. It's not the same. I know Mr. Gregor. Different types of anatomy, but right. You've got the guys from the street. He's strong. He's all over the place.
Like an Energizer bunny. He just moves all like, over the octagon,
nah,
everywhere.
Not in a bad way.
No, like a monkey.
Like a monkey, you know? Yeah. If I fight you, bam, bam, he's all over the place. You know, to move, he's fast, he go forward. Imprevisible. And McGregor has one thing that nobody has in his division, I think. He can go backwards at the same time he's hitting. And when the guy ran at him and he can go backwards and bah, and he's hitting the guy, it's very dangerous. So he's got the length to go forward and he's got the technique to go backwards.
When you look at some of the great fighters that have been in both boxing and mixed martial arts, there was a boxer who still today, is to me, is the greatest pound-for-pound boxer ever, which is Sugar Ray Robinson. He could knock you out with a short right hook going backwards. Chuck Liddell, I watched him break the orbital of that fighter. I forget.
Vernon Tiger Woods
hit him walking backwards, broke his orbital with a punch. I mean, the ability to punch when you're moving backwards is as important, if not more important, than moving forwards. Right. You have to have that full side, just being able to fight from left angle to right angle. There's a lot of excitement going on in the UFC, and I know you enjoy it. And
yes,
I know, obviously.
Yes. Like, for example, I mean, the guy who's using his legs kind of cool. It's and has nothing to do with UFC, but I don't promote because I'm a big fan. I saw the first UFC and people say, we'll never go. And then they create a network just to make that happen. And many years ago in the newspaper, they said it's bad, it's gory, it will never happen. And now it's fantastic because it has that touch of a gladiator with class and the flash and the music. Every champion, they have their music. Yeah. I think it's beautiful. But anyway, what I wanted to say, using legs also, the man a lots of condition.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your arms is that heavy, but to be able to lift your knee, like, sure. Okay, I was talking about Boakaw and Bill Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
Those super guys were, foot. Yeah, super foot, but of course it's not that jiu-jitsu, but I'm saying in terms of legs, Boakaw from Thailand ain't bad. He's got some good techniques, how to block and how to go. He trained in slow motion kick. It's very important to do kicking in slow motion. That will give you extreme power.
Actually, I train like that myself a little bit because it's almost similar to Tai Chi, because the slow movements, a lot of those guys you see doing their Tai Chi in the park and stuff, if you really look, they're very strong. Very strong. The slower you make those movements, and you're right, if you come up with a kick and you do a completely formed, perfectly moved kick, but as slow as possible, you're training those muscles.
To the yauda, every
fiber of that muscle is being trained. Very, very cool point.
You know, just real quick, in your martial arts, I'd like to ask you a question about this. I think, you know, the way that we implement traditional martial arts and mixed martial arts is a bit different. It's more repetition and routine. A lot of people get away from the kata and doing things in the gym. Do you feel there's benefit for people in traditional martial arts to continue doing the kata and actually have it for, you know, actual street application?
Me, I did few katas to win some competition for the form and look beautiful. But truly, I prefer to do some shadow boxing, right, and look at myself in the mirror. And I put a rope with a tennis ball, and I hit the rope like a thin rope like this with the foot, and I try not to make the rope move. You know, this is very difficult. If you have the dexterity to touch somebody and go like this, imagine.
Right.
If you need, always put your knee up. Because if your knee up, you can go back forth very fast. And you also can turn this way. When the knee is up, it's the aiming weapon. And you're protecting yourself like a shelf. And then you go like a piston.
Look at Jean-Claude moving his chair.
I know.
See this?
When we were in the gym together last week or the week before, remember? And we were talking with James. And we were doing the knee. And we said the knee is the gun sight.
Yeah.
And if the gun sight is looking at the side that you're kicking through, you're going to kick through that target. Whether it's a head, a body, or whatever. I mean, I was always trained that your knee is your gun sight, and that's where the kick comes from.
Right.
Yeah.
And you need a lot of power in your buttocks because the ASS is the one who's holding the middle of your body with the abdominal. So to be able to lift your knee on a very high You need all the muscle here. No, no, you have to open because a lot of people, when they kick, they go like this. So if I'm blocking him, I'm going to go not inside him, and he's going to hook me or elbow me. So what you have to do when you kick, you have to put your knee straight between his guard and go inside,
right?
Like a jabs, you know. And it's not difficult. It's just like to understand to just change the hip movement. So you talk about Shotokan. It was karate martial arts. We'd follow the books. You do one kick, you do one mistake, you repeat 1,000 mistake,
right,
with 1,000 kick. No, you go from there to UFC. Boxing follow, wrestling follow, martial arts. It's a jump from Shotokan, very straight,
yep,
this, that, to something who has to match the inside of wrestling and boxing. So who was there to teach that to whom? Jiu-jitsu, they go one maigeri, and then they go to the floor.
Right.
We have kind of a teacher was not there. Sorry, guys, don't kill me, but I go with my because in 5 years from now in UFC, the kicking will be amazing.
It's gonna keep evolution.
Well,
going
I mean, more just, and more.
Like the fist.
Look what we've seen over the last few years. The Edson Barboza.
So what I'm saying, between that Shotokan area, Jiu-Jitsu, wrestling, boxing, to UFC, a teaching kicking spirit, a teaching kicking community is going to start to grow out there. And then it will be a big difference fighting. And that's why a guy like who broke his legs, wrong place, but
yeah, Anderson Silva.
Or Connor, they can take their distance and they can have the time to target, right, and everything. Yeah.
Well, that's what Connor does, and he's definitely a specimen. And getting back to, it's fascinating, isn't it, TJ?
Oh, this is amazing.
This is Jean-Claude Van Damme doing this in his chair in front of you. This is fascinating.
What I just loved is you still have amazing flexibility. You're world famous for your splits.
I was attached with a cable.
I know, but still.
I was restrained like in a movie. Huh?
Do you even have to work on your flexibility anymore, Jean-Claude, or is it just you're probably this flexible for life?
You have to work because the tendon, they're going to constrict. And also when you blow a few tendons, I blow 3 times inside different places. So you have to reopen that. It's getting tighter and tighter.
Right. Have you done jiu-jitsu at all?
Never.
I got to think that this guy would be amazing at rubber guard.
Well, at rubber guard, can you imagine Eddie Bravo working with him?
Seriously.
For about 6 months?
We should try to hook that up. We should get you on the mat with Eddie Bravo, and he teaches some amazing stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I know, sometimes you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but we'll see
up. I think JC can do whatever he wants to.
I'm running too fast.
Let's get back into your movie career a little bit as we take it forward. You know, you were doing the martial arts films, and then your acting, as it began to expand, as you began to become a better actor, the Nowhere to Run, Hard Target. I enjoyed these movies so much. Time Cop was a really, really good film. The film to me, which I consider one of your best films ever, which involves so much honesty on your part because of the ups and downs that you've been through in your career, was JCVD. And the beauty of JCVD, real quickly, TJ, if you haven't seen it, for our audience listening, JCVD was basically Jean-Claude Van Damme going home to Brussels to see his family, in a rough period in your life, in the career, in the married life, you know, just a very honest film. You go into a bank to get some money. The bank gets robbed, and you're taken hostage.
Right.
I've never heard of a plot like this, because Holly was just retelling stories all the time.
Right.
And you have one scene in this film, which you have to correct me, is either 10 or 12 or 14 minutes long. The Time magazine actually said that your performance in the film was the second best of the year after Heath Ledger's The Joker in The Dark Knight. And they basically said that you deserve not a black belt, but an Oscar. Now, I know when I walked out of watching this movie, I called my friends, my dad, and I used to talk about film all the time. I said, Dad, you won't believe this, but I just saw at a performance by Jean-Claude Van Damme that was worthy of an Oscar nomination, just for that one scene alone. Now, my question to you and those that have watched the film, was that scripted, Jean-Claude, or did they just let the cameras roll? Because I just don't see how that was so scripted. The tears look real. The emotion was real.
It's raw.
It's raw. It's almost like I was a psychologist.
The tears look real. You think I'm a lady? No, it came out naturally, of course. But
yeah,
I did have some structure of kind of a mini path of my life.
Right.
And then it came out naturally. Yeah. To talk about life, and I came from the dojo, and I was hurt, and I believe in friendship, and You know, when you lack friendship, it's something very unusual. I grew up skinny between big brothers, and they helped me to become a better kid physically, and then they helped me how to catch the girl, say that to her, say this to her, don't cry on her. And I wake up with those brothers of mine. And when I came to America, they were not the same brothers. And sometimes you get hurt in the world of... And that's why lots of champions, they're very, wow. But deep inside, they're like teddy bear.
Yeah.
Well, you're also in one of the most difficult industries to work with, which is completely cutthroat, and everybody's out for themselves, which is the movie business. I mean, let's face it. It's just there's a bunch of thieves out there lying through their teeth. Who do you trust? who's gonna take care of you?
No,
who's gonna back you up? You can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, the first time we met, and you know, I doubt very much you remember this. It was a very popular night spot called Bar One here in L.A. on Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
And they had a pool table, if you remember.
Right.
And I was in there one night, and I'm having a great time. And there's Jean-Claude playing pool, and I go
you
over and introduce
me
myself.
There?
I met you there.
Oh my God.
We were playing pool with a couple of girls, right?
Right.
And then every time a girl would walk up to the pool table, he's so funny, he would go, or the kick. I mean, you know, it's a body gift from God,
right.
And it's like the girls are like, you know, all salivating around us, and I'm like, man, this is the greatest wingman I have ever had in my life.
But listen, when you don't know how to speak English, you get to do something to create a conversation.
Right. I believe they call that peacocking these days.
Call it whatever you want, but it works for Jean-Claude. That's all I can tell you. Ooh.
You can still compete at kickboxing without a...
Nah, at 55, you need to open the lungs, the heart. Right. It's, you know, it's a different... you have to win in one round. All I'm saying, I can teach, I can spar, no problem.
You put the rounds in the gym,
no problem. No problem, no problem. Any guys who wants to play with me, in a sense, bring the camera. No problem. But it's because I've been training all my life. It was like a fight against myself. And because of that, I survived... And thank God to sports, thank God to my parents for my... I became a force of nature because of training.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. You know, I always tell people, they say, well, I'll start training when I'm 40, I'll start training when I'm 50. No, you've got a real problem. You need to start training now and be consistent and make it happen for a long period of time. We were in the gym a couple weeks ago when we were going back and forth and we were throwing a couple kicks at each other. And it's, I mean, your speed is amazing.
Right.
You know, most people lose the speed first. And retain the power.
Right.
I don't think you've lost your speed.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't think
but
so.
But the most important is flexibility.
Always.
When you get older, if you keep on stretching, your muscle, they stay good quality. Flexibility is very important.
You're known for those splits.
Right.
Right? And I tried to show off to you a little bit in the gym the other day.
Oh, by the way, I'll get a picture with you. You're doing the split, the spagas.
Yes.
Yeah. He takes good care of himself.
They say spagas in Russia. Spagas.
Split.
Spagas.
No, I can't say that.
Hey, listen, I got a compliment from Jean-Claude Van Damme on my splits. That's it. I'm done.
No, he did the split guarantee like this. In fact, I came in the middle and go, hey, to the camera to show what's not CG. Justin, he said, come next to me. I said, yeah, sure. I'm going to be between you. Why? So they can see it's for real, you know,
right,
because...
Yeah.
You saw Bruce like this. You should put a picture on the show.
I will. I'll
do it.
We'll put it up. We'll put it up there. No question. If you want to throw a couple kicks at the end of the show, we'll have some. We're going to knock a cigarette out of TJ's mouth.
No, that's not happening. You know, just real quick. You know, a lot of people don't believe that Bruce is all natural. We talk about it here on the show, and not to make it too much about yourself, Bruce. But
please,
you know, we. I mean, Bruce takes very good care of himself. He travels the world. He stays in amazing. A shape, and people actually think that Bruce has these ab implants and these calf implants.
Right.
I don't know why everyone thinks that Bruce can't just take care of himself and look well. I mean, you look well. How often do people question your authentic physique?
No, they are surprised to see me because with a shirt, I look kind of normal. When I take the shirt out, it's very well defined. But every time I go to the gym, Bruce is almost there because sometimes we're not crossing each other. But he's a daily...
Gym rat,
yeah. Right? But I'm telling you, when you take all those plans, I've been to that life, but I think he's taking more plan than me because of lots of events. So when he take all those plans, if he doesn't train,
right,
with the water retention, jet lag,
he'll break down. Yeah,
he's out. So basically, he's condemned to train, but he loves to train, thank God, and he's amazing, really, truly, condition, cardio, weights, and flexibility.
Flexibility is so, Jean-Claude, right. Thank you so much. My day's made. Right. I'm done, Jean-Claude.
But it's true. Me. It's true.
Thank you. And yeah. You asked me that when we were in the gym. You said, how do you do this with all the travel?
Right.
I say this. I train to travel now, Jean-Claude. I always train to stay in shape, but I have to train to travel. It's not easy.
But I'm going to tell you, 5 years ago, we crossed each other. We crossed all. But 5 years ago, you were not as good than today in terms of condition.
Thank you.
Everything.
Thank you. I was in a lot of stress back then. My father was in bad shape, and I had family issues. And you know how those things interfere.
I didn't know that, but you know what I'm saying? I know the difference.
Not making excuses, but I appreciate that very much because we're not getting younger, Jean-Claude.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Yes, excuse me.
Ask my age.
How old are you, Jean-Claude?
Eternal.
That's the name of a movie right there.
Oh, I love it. Jean-Claude, you've been... I'm like sitting here with my head is like going crazy just with all I just heard. Thank you again, Jean-Claude.
Me too. I never give up that much on an interview because you're a nice guy.
Thank
you're
you.
Always nice. You're nice to me always, all the time.
Always.
You give me respect. Same here. And it's a pleasure to be here and also to talk to all the champions and the soon to be champions, the audience, everybody.
We have the invoice as well, Bruce. So you owe him.
No problem.
We'll take care of it.
They're all going to be listening. You know, Jean-Claude, you know that your son, by the way, also has a great roundhouse kick. Remember you showing
me
the thing?
But he doesn't like to fight.
Well, you know, some people, they like martial arts. Yes. They don't like to fight.
No, he loves it.
He loves martial arts.
Yeah. But fighting is not his trip.
Is it not getting hit? Is that?
No, he's into producing films.
Oh, got it.
He's got those... vision of making sci-fi movie.
Sure.
He's very in. Very cool kid. Very intelligent.
That's awesome.
But he has so much respect for the UFC. Love it.
How can you not with those great warriors? With all that you've been through in the movie career, and like you said, when you did Bloodsport, there wasn't TGI back then.
No.
All the effects.
Yeah.
What do you think about the... Not. We already asked you about the action stars, but, you know, what do you think about the TGI effects? Do you think it's helping or ruining film?
You know what? Without the CG effect, you cannot get those sci-fi huge movies like, and also expandable, those Marvels and those Avengers and stuff like that. So when you do movies like the old way, something you cannot beat, for example, but you have to go personal. Don't go scope. Without CG, like Lawrence of Arabia will cost today so much. But if you do like a tight movie, a martial arts film, when you see a guy jumping in slow motion without CG, without cable, you see his vein and everything bulging. You see something you cannot produce in CGI, the effort. So you can see through reality, the truth, you know? CG are great, but in the middle of it, you need kind of a human substance, always. I'm not fighting for my profession. My business today is on the social network, and I'm in China doing some different types of business. What I'm saying to you, if you give your truth with the CG, we always see a difference, yeah.
Exactly. You're doing Kickboxer now. I'd love to talk about that when it happens. Where do you see Jean-Claude Van Damme in 10 years?
Well... I'm going to try to set up something where people that can have, they can feel great and they can feel important and equal in a sense in the world of social network where we can reach lots of avenues to help people to understand better. In a sense like that. It sounds kind of, it's more of a...
It's a theory of life in its own essence.
Yes, but it's all there. But if we have to go through, it will take like lots of time to explain.
Well, we'll definitely have you back on the show, Jean-Claude.
But I like to make movies because that's my you know, movies is the thing. It's like when you're going to make a film, you can represent another reality.
Right.
If it's those types of movies,
right,
you know,
right.
Like Scorsese movies, and then you have movies like I may do a TV show. Which it's not announced yet, and I may do another big movie, kind of a very big movie, which isn't announced yet. You never know what's going to happen. So.
Well, in Hollywood, you never talk about it till the camera's rolling.
Right.
Yeah, they got to keep it quiet. So you keep that quiet. We don't need any big scoops on It's Time Radio here. I'm just so proud and happy that you came in studio to be with us, because I speak for TJ when I say this and everybody here, it's an honor to have you on the show.
Great.
It truly is.
Great.
And we're going to get this out. And I want to have you back on, and I want to see you. And, of course, I'm waiting for my close up, Mr. DeMille, when I can be in one of your films.
Okay. Don't deal on the camera. And one thing also, when you've been through a lot in life, I think the secret to success, it's first of all to have a goal. So what you have to do, you have to ask yourself what you want, right? You'll have no answer for a couple of years until you know who you are. You have to know who you are, and then slowly you will design something of who you are, right? Mm-hmm. When you lock that target, you will feel it. Then what am I supposed to do to make that happen? Then you launch the idea in the future, in a sense, right? And you'll feel that it's going to happen. And then you become what you are. So when I came to America, even though I was poor, the money was in the bank, poor to come. You have to be poor to succeed. I cannot come with money. And because it will not help, 30,000 more. So you go in and I felt like, hey, I'm Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm a movie star. Mm-hmm. I can work for free, but I'm a movie star. You'll see. So I was having that type of already built inside me. And it's the same with the champion. It starts at a young age. But anyway, after all that stuff, what's the most important in life? It's to be simple. It's to be simple, like a beautiful sunshine and a sunset. And then after all I've done, the car, the jewelry, the watch, the this, lots of people understand. Look at me. It's a T-shirt. That's a pen from Cathay Pacific business class. I've got my beats. I'm happy. I've got my dogs. I've got money, but be simple and humble, and then you'll go through everything in life.
If that's not motivating, I don't know what is.
It's incredibly motivating. I just totally am with you completely what you said. And one thing I'd like to add, and I say on the show one time, is I truly believe we are all created equal in life. It's just about the paths we choose, and it's about being the best you can be on that path that you choose. And your humbleness and where you are today, and I'd like to end the show on the note that you just put out, because to me, that is valuable, wonderful food for thought for the people that are listening to the show. And for that, I thank you so much, Jean-Claude.
Thank you, Bruce.
It's truly, truly an honor to have you on the show.
Please come back. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen tuning in, all our listeners around the world, we just had a very, very special show, a show that will definitely live long with its time radio. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Remember, be the best you can be. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Show the respect to everybody around you that you care to receive yourself. Life is about winning. Life is about setting goals. Not just thinking about them, but making them happen. Fulfill your dreams, everybody, and live life to the fullest. We'll be back next week on It's Time Radio. Buffer out.
It's Time with Bruce Buffer is a TJ DeSantis production and is property of Buffer Enterprises Incorporated. Its content is intended for private use only.
At T-Mobile, you can get two powerful iPhone 11 Pros on us.
The three cameras are perfect for capturing my DIY projects. I'm repainting our car.
Wow, the ultra-wide camera really captures all the flames.
Switch today and get two new lines for $90 plus two iPhone 11 Pros on us with qualifying trade-in.
For well-qualified customers plus taxes and fees, Essentials plan with autopay, phone via 24 credits. If you cancel before 24 credits, remaining balance on full price of $999.99 for each device may be due. Contact us. Qualifying port-ins and finance agreements required.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.